Here we go. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
It's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
Here we go.
Are you sure?
Number five.
No, I am not in any way sure. Nothing was working there. All right. New York Times. Big story. Donald Trump may have avoided paying taxes. They don't really know for sure. All they know is that he took a $916 million write-off in 1995, which could allow him to carry forward the loss, which could allow him to not pay taxes until he makes $915 million back.
Over a period of years. I think then you can't use it anymore.
Right. But I think it was, now they were saying yesterday 18. I myself have never availed myself of this particular
either.
Tax loss.
Well, I don't have $900 million that took anywhere near my taxes. But yes, I think they're saying that he legally could have avoided paying income tax for up to 18 years.
Wow. So Rudy Giuliani went on television yesterday morning and all the morning talk shows to defend him. And this is what I really like. When he was on the Stephanopoulos show, when he was on This Week.
Did he have his glasses on crooked?
He apparently had sat on his glasses before before he went on. And he put them on and they were all like jacked up on his face.
I know. They were like absent-minded professor looking or whatever. Like that sort of. Did anybody take a look in the mirror? Or, you know, when you walked, did he take a look in the mirror? Did anybody look at you before you walked out there?
And he has those glasses that make his eyes look really big. You know, they're sort of the, whatever they're correcting has the effect of when you look back at his eyes through them. You know, like as the
glasses.
Viewer, they're like all of a sudden it's like a fishbowl, and his eyes are all big and googly.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, he looked kind of nutty. And then what he was saying didn't help.
He's a genius. I mean, the reality
is
absolute genius. I mean, the man in the art of the deal, this is described. First of all, we're talking about 26 years ago, perfectly legal. We should get that straight immediately. This is a perfectly legal application of the tax code. And he would have been a fool not to take advantage of it.
That's all true. I wouldn't go genius, but I would. First of all, he's not the genius. His tax accountants and lawyers are availing themselves, which, by the way, their job, availing themselves of this. And it is also his job. Now, here's the real question. This is the question that I have yet to have had answered. I find nothing in this part of the story that intriguing other than did he personally have a loss of $916 million or did his company have a loss of $916 million? So this is really not so much about him personally. It's about his company. And did he take... Did Donald Trump himself, and how does Donald Trump arrange his tax circumstances? See, this is one thing. This is why this is a very politically inspired. And again, I'm not defending Donald Trump because, quite honestly, again, I think he's disastrous. But you got to look at these things, how they, you know, where they came from. I still believe in a certain amount of ethical fairness in journalism. And I look at how this story came to be. It clearly was dropped by people who were, mad at Donald Trump. And it was leaked in such a way that it apparently may be part of a campaign by the New York Times, a series of stories about this.
Yeah, they said there's more to come.
There may be.
This is just the beginning. One of the reporters was interviewed and said, well, look, there's a lot more where that came from.
So I think the next question that needs to be answered here, that, again, nothing there's nothing really all that unusual about this other than the differential between Donald Trump and the Trump company and who got the carry forward. Because on close to $1 billion, it's kind of unlikely that's on a personal income tax. And if it is on personal income tax, a personal income tax form, then there's a lot of questions about that, about, was that $916 million of his own capital, or was some of that levered by bank loans? And if, in fact, there were bank loans, did he write off the value of the bank loans? Because the bank loan, if he went bad on the bank loan, The bank writes it off. He doesn't write it off. That's how the rule goes. So the question is, how much of his own capital was risked here? Maybe it is a full $916 million. Maybe it is. I think that's the part that I would like to see explained. Because if it is, that's impressive.
What's impressive?
That he had $916 million of his own dough up, you know, which I don't know if it's impressive or just that or bad business. Because do you lose $916 million if you're an individual or do you lever things up? And this apparently was on the collapse of the Taj Mahal, which has been written about extensively by the New York Times over these last number of months, and the collapse of Trump Airlines.
Right. So it's very plausible that he did have the losses. But I guess those are the follow-up questions you want to ask. I think what's so shocking to people is that it shines a spotlight on these types of opportunities for people who are billionaires to not pay taxes when a lot of people feel as if they're struggling to pay what they pay. And I know that's not exactly a fair way of looking at it because the government participates in the upside, so they must share in the downside as well. And that the business, you know, reasoning behind why these laws exist to keep businesses operational
and people employed and all of that. There's a whole, I mean, his articulation, his defense today in Pueblo, Colorado is pretty good. It explains there. I mean, when he was on the prompter, when his lawyers had written it for him, it explains what goes on there. And it wasn't a bad. And it is. I get there's a reason the carry forward exists.
Of course.
And it's and there's
a million
reason.
People took advantage of that, business owners across America last year, according to Forbes.
It does help. It does help keep people employed. It helps. Yeah. Does it help the business owners who made bad decisions? Does it insure them against bad decisions? And to some degree, it does. But more important, but the government has decided that it, after on balance, it's better to have that capability for the individual, for all the individuals who work for that company, that they would at least, you know, they'd be able to keep the business going. And then there would be a shot at making that back. And Donald Trump has made it back. All right. Now, here's the deal, though. I want to just quickly want to play this. Here's what Rudy Giuliani said that's gotten him in some hot water today, too. Listen to this.
I want a man who's a genius at figuring out how to take this country that's moving in the wrong direction, where we've had a basically jobless recovery, where we've had growth of less than 2% for 2 years. That's pathetic. Don't you think a man who has this kind of economic genius is a lot better for the United States than a woman? And the only thing she's ever produced is a lot of work for the FBI checking out her emails.
Some people heard that. I watched
heard
this
that
live.
The wrong way initially. I'm just hoping he misspoke there because, you know, he just kind of categorized then a woman. How about a woman like Hillary Clinton? I mean, there should have been some qualifier around that word there. And it just feels like if Donald Trump
you heard that as
sort
an
of
affront
a gender,
against women.
A gender thing. Okay. It did. But I think the issue.
I think a lot of people agree with you.
I thought he was going to say produce a baby, which would have been even worse.
She should be home, barefoot and pregnant. Even though she's 70.
The problem is,
but in Brazil, that can happen, though, right? And then like a 70-year-old woman had a baby in Brazil?
There was like a 70-year-old woman who had a baby. I'm not sure how that happened, but she did, and God bless her.
Checking in at
number four.
All right. Now, the Donald was, as I said, in Pueblo, Colorado today, and he says he's brilliant in this.
The absolute total destruction of the savings and loan industry and the implosion of the retail market and real estate in general, something we've never seen anything like it. Many business people, including many of my competitors and some of my friends, were not able to survive. Companies, jobs, and opportunities were lost and lives were destroyed as tens of thousands of people were put out of work. Some of the biggest and strongest people and companies went absolutely bankrupt, which I never did, by the way. Are you proud of me?
Are you proud of me?
We're so proud. What was that?
It was a cry. Mommy, why don't you love me? Okay?
Sometimes I can't believe
so
what
sad.
I'm hearing.
Mommy did not love me, so sad. Really, really,
you think
really
it's a mommy
sad.
Thing and not a daddy
thing? I think
thing?
It's a mommy thing, yeah. I think the dad thing, because he's always talking so gloriously about his dad.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a mommy thing. It's something. I'm going to tell you something. It's something for sure. It's one
it's
of those things.
It's definitely his ego or his id or his superego, one of those speaking. There's something going on there. It's just like, who says that? Are you proud of me?
Are you proud of me? Okay. Now, here he is talking about how much he's looking forward to the debate next Sunday.
But I'm doing this, and I'm doing it for a very specific reason, because I understand our country is in very, very bad shape. Oh, I thought that was the Commission on Presidential Debates that was working. I said, I didn't know they were here. You know, when they were playing with the mic back, forth, I thought that was the commission. That's a beautiful commission. Let's see what happens on Sunday again. My biggest opponent was the microphone.
No, unfortunately.
It was yourself.
No, it was definitely you.
Let me bring up Rosie O'Donnell again.
Yeah, because right, the microphone made him do that.
I mean, Hillary just had to stand there at some point, and it was her best
Everybody
defense.
Agrees with me that Rosie O'Donnell's a pig. Everybody agrees with me on that.
I'm genius, actually.
No one disagrees with me about Rosie O'Donnell being a pig. All right. Okay. 3-2-1, but first, Violetta, WGN, traffic trouble spots.
Bears fans, grab a copy of the Chicago Tribune at Jewel Osco this Sunday. Collect your 2016 Chicago Bears Fathead Tradables. Collect all 8 now through October 30th.
Top 5-5 continues checking in at
number 3.
Oh, I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener.
The man who got generations of hot dog lovers to sing along with this song has died. There's an obituary posted online by Davenport Family Funeral Home and Crematory in Crystal Lake says that Richard Trentledge of Fox River Grove in Lake County died on September 21st at the age of 87. The jingle he wrote appeared in 1960s television commercials featuring a cartoon children marching along. Do you remember this? I remember this.
No.
Yeah, well, you're too young. I remember it so well. So well. So sad.
So true. Mm-hmm.
Trentledge was born in Chicago and began penning jingles in high school. And then he transformed his living room into a recording studio.
How cool. Is the reason why we have so many jingles written here because we had such a thriving advertising agency
world here
for so
sure.
long?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
All right, checking in at
number 2.
Following the victory by the Bears yesterday against the Detroit Lions, Brian Hoyer says that he started games before. No big deal.
It's not something I haven't done before. I think that's the biggest thing for me is, you know, the week of preparation, preparing to play, and knowing that you're going to play. I think it's something that comes naturally to me now, having really this being 4 years that I've started for, you know, whatever team it might be.
No big deal.
No big deal.
It's my sixth team I've been on.
Mark Carmen tweeted this out, Kev, and Jay Cutler has thrown for over 300 yards with 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, only twice in his career. Hoyer has done it twice in 2 weeks. Sounds like we might, I don't know, there's an argument there that even if Cutler gets healthy.
I'd start Cutler. I don't think it really matters, though, in the long run.
That's interesting. Did he do it last week against Philadelphia?
It certainly wasn't with good results, if it was. This is what he said. Anyway, he did it the last game with the Lions, but that's what he tweeted.
Yeah.
No big deal.
I mean, I know they came back at the end. I mean, that was
right.
So
maybe he racked up some
little garbage time.
Yeah, some garbage time numbers. So I mean, I suppose Mark would not have put that up there if that were not true.
Right. I just think Brian Hoyer is not the savior, and I think people should understand that. Sort of what OB was saying. He's a placeholder. That's why he's on his sixth NFL team, and he's never really been a regular starter. He was last year,
but isn't the zero interceptions thing kind of a meaningful?
It's pretty important not turning the ball over.
But
so,
it also tells you that the Lions secondary might not be that good.
The Lions are not a good team. We'll see what Brian Hoyer can do against
Wasn't there one interception call back on a penalty, though?
I believe he was pretty much free of all interceptions. Matthew Stafford had a couple Jay Cutler-esque interceptions yesterday.
Yes, he did. Threw it right.
Sort of a,
which is our guy again?
Miscommunication between Stafford and the receiver happened twice, and you've seen that happen with Cutler. And
totally true. Wait, that's the other team.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, how many times do we have to tell you? Mm-hmm. Throw to your teammates.
And then the thumb hurts after that.
It did look like it was a Bears scrimmage yesterday because it was equally sort of feckless on both sides of the ball, which is kind of
bad football.
Yeah, checking in at
number 1.
Saturday Night Live, 42nd season this weekend. Biggest ratings for the opening night. I know Trump's going to say, loser Saturday Night Live. They really suck. But huge numbers Saturday night because you have Alec Baldwin playing Donald Trump.
Mr. Trump, 2 more minutes.
The thing about the blacks is that they're killing each other.
All the blacks live on one street in Chicago, all on one street. I just read that this morning. It's called Hell Street. And they're on Hell Street, and they're all just killing each other, just like I am killing this debate.
Secretary Clinton, did you have a response?
Not a response, more of a request. Can America vote right now?
There's so many reasons I would like this election to be over, but for this reason, I would like it to take a lot longer getting there because he was so good, Alec Baldwin.
Our jobs are fleeing this country. They're going to Mexico. They're going to China. I will stop that. If Hillary knew how, she would have done it already, period. End of story. I won the debate. I stayed calm, just like I promised, and it is over. Good night, Hofstra.
Donald, there's still 88 minutes left.
My microphone is broken. She broke it with Obama. She and Obama stole my microphone. They took it to Kenya. They took my microphone to Kenya, and they broke it, and now it's broken. And you hear that? It's picking up. Somebody's sniffing here. I think it's her sniffs. She's been sniffing all night. Testing, testing. Gina, Gina. Huge Gina.
Secretary Clinton, what do you think about that?
I think I'm going to be president.
He was so good.
He sounds just like Donald Trump.
Doesn't he have the voice down perfectly and the facial mannerisms?
I knew it was going to be good.
Where's Gina?
Well, if I have to explain that to you now, Kevin, it's too late.
I think it's
here,
south.
Here we go. Here is, let's just close this up. Thank you.
The top five at five.